How's your follow-through? I'm not talking tennis or golf. I'm talking your walk with God. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
After your deliverance, after the victory, we need to follow through with obedience. You know how it is when we make vows and make deals with God when we're in the midst of a fire or some situation? Lord, I tell you, I'm going to be there every Sunday. I'm going back to church. I'm going to be there, Lord. You know? And then after the pain and after the deliverance, you know, that one morning you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it, you know. But, you know, just like with every kind of sport just about, you need to have follow through if you're going to be successful. Amen.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Calvary Worship Center welcomes you to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman and our continuing series in the Psalms. Today, we'll seek to cover another Psalm of Asaph, Psalm 76. As we continue dealing with COVID-19 and all of its ramifications, we see powerful men in some very high places making decisions that greatly affect us. No matter how much power a man might have, it cannot match the power God possesses. That's Asaph's message in Psalm 76. Join us there as we go to Pastor Al Pittman for today's message.
I don't think we're as vulnerable when we're dependent on God and we're crying out, oh God, help me. You know, we're not as vulnerable then. We think we are. God says, no, I got you where I want you. You're totally dependent upon me. But man, when we've walked in and demons have fallen before our feet, you know, and then we're y'all speaking the word and we're just feel so invigorated by the Holy Spirit and we're just going around, you know, we feel like we're glowing and stuff. And, you know, we've got words and answers for people, you know, and we're just walking in the Spirit of God and nothing wrong with that. But that's when sometimes we can drop our guard. Be careful. The devil is crafty and the very carcass that we have destroyed, that very lion we have destroyed in his carcass, there's honey, and we can be drawn back to the world, find ourselves touching those dead things again, compromising. But Lord, it's honey, but it's also in the lion. So just be careful. To me, it just spoke volumes to me as a pastor, as a Christian, that you need to be careful that Samson made that mistake, that he went back to the lion that he had defeated, and he himself was defeated. Of course, God had mercy on him, and he took vengeance on the Philistines in the end, but, you know, it did lead to his defeat. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that we should be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. How? Steadfast in the faith and the word of God, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood in the world. In other words, you think you're all alone. Nobody understands me. Hey, there are a lot of believers going through the same stuff you're going through. In Christ, however, we need not fear. 2 Kings chapter 19. If we keep our minds on the Lord, we keep our focus on the Lord, we need not fear. Now, let's consider King Hezekiah's response to King Sennacherib of the Assyrian Empire. They had come up against Jerusalem, and basically he sent out his head of state, main guy, second guy in charge probably, and he just basically spoke words of defiance against the people of Israel and told them that they were going to get wiped out like all the other nations before them. Who are you to stand before or to resist the king of Assyria? You guys are nothing, and you know, just intimidating them. And so he sends a letter to the king of Assyria, sends a letter to Hezekiah, basically, you know, telling him to, you know, he wants this unconditional surrender. He wants to surrender Jerusalem to us. They had defeated many of the cities throughout Judah, throughout the region, and they were coming up against the city of Jerusalem. And they were basically giving Hezekiah an ultimatum. You surrender everything, unconditional surrender, or, you know, we're going to wipe you out. So the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, Oh Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, and oh Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. And truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands. They were idols, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. And therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God alone. And then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. And this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. And the Lord said concerning Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, he said that the virgin, the daughter of Zion, that is the people of Israel, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. In other words, you know, you know, my people will shake their head behind your back like you're nothing. And then he says, whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Verse 22 of 2 Kings 19. Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel. I love that. God comes to the aid and defense of his people. Then we look at verse 29 to 31. The Lord says, as a result, and God speaks some other things against the Assyrian king and all. And then the Lord speaks to his people, and he says this in verse 29. Here's what I want you to see. Verse 29 to 31, this shall be a sign to you. You shall eat this year such as grows of itself. In the second year, that springs from the same. Also in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And the remnant who have escaped from the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who escape from Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. Amen. Now, what we need to get from this is the very fact that if God is indeed for us, the enemy cannot be against us. And also, if we keep our eyes on the Lord, as Hezekiah did, then we can overcome the enemy. And God is saying to his people here in verse 29 to 31, go ahead, dream, have visions, plan your futures and all that, prosper in all these things, because your enemy is already defeated. And that's the blessing for us as believers. We don't have to fear what the enemy is trying to do. We don't have to fear that the devil wants to try to rob us of our peace and all of those things. We don't have to live intimidated by the devil. You can dream again. You can have a vision again. You can have victory again, because the zeal of the Lord, it says here in verse 31, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it for you. And now Isaiah is giving this prophecy to Hezekiah, and he's given him the prophecy before the battle even started. And so whatever battle you might be in, and the enemies come up against you as Sennacherib came up against Jerusalem, and he's trying to rob you of your peace, it's a peace that he cannot take from you, because it's preserved in the name of Jesus for you forever. It's reserved for you forever. He can't take that from you. What you need to do is turn to God and realize that in Christ and through faith in Christ, you already have victory over whatever season, whatever thing you may be going through in your life, even tonight. And so Isaiah prophesies this. He says, listen, the zeal of the Lord will do it. Don't you worry about it. You're not only going to plant this year, you're going to plant next year and then the year to come. And you're going to reap, and your roots going to go down deep, and your fruit's going to go up high. And you won't do it in your own strength. You're not the captain of your ship, but the zeal of the Lord God will do it for you. And so we turn back here to Psalm 76, and we see them speaking of that very thing. Here in Psalm 76, verses 7 to 10, as he says, you yourself are to be feared. That is, God, you yourself are to be feared. And who may stand in your presence? When once you are angry, you cause judgment to be heard from heaven. They heard the judgment against the army of Sennacherib, that judgment of God from heaven that came against Sennacherib. Your judgment, you caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. You imagine the people, they did fear when they heard about the defeat of Sennacherib's army. And then verse 9, he says, when God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of the earth, to deliver the oppressed of his people. And he's talking about this battle that was going to take place back in 2 Kings chapter 19 against the Assyrian army. And then he says, Selah, pause. Reflect on the fact that when God arose to judge, to deliver all the oppressed of the world, how the world will fear. Not only speaking of that time, but think of the end times when the Lord arises to judge the world. I envision it as this courtroom scene, and you know how you're there, and you're closest I've ever gotten to situations like that was maybe getting a ticket or something and going, and you know that judge comes in, all rise, you know. You know, man, I sure hope I don't have to pay the full deal, and you know, hope they'll let me slide, you know. But you kind of rise, kind of like, you know. I mean, even when you watch it on television, you see people rise in a criminal case or something, and the judge walks in. Boy, it's like, you know, to meet out the judgment or whatever. You know, I don't see anybody kind of just, hey, what's up, judge? You know, just kind of real timid. And I'm thinking, when the Lord rises and the world stands before him and trembles, when God walks into the courtroom of your life, what will his verdict be? It's a fearful thing if you don't know Christ. But if you know Christ, you know that the verdict is justification because of the blood of Jesus. And so he's writing about that here in Psalm 76. And verses 3 to 6, he speaks of the defeat in Hezekiah's day. In verse 4, the latter part, he talks about you are more glorious and excellent, that is, he's speaking of God, than the mountains of prey. Mountains of prey, speaking of the spoils the people of Israel collected after the defeat of the Assyrian army. And what about the defeat of the Assyrian army? Well, back in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, just one verse, we read about how they were defeated. And the Bible says in verse 35 of 2 Kings chapter 19, and it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, and when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. One angel. And the Bible says here, the angel of the Lord. And it could indeed be the manifestation of Christ in the Old Testament, which theologians call a theophany, the appearance of Jesus in an angelic form. One angel of the Lord destroyed thousands, 185,000 in one night. That's our God. No wonder the Bible says here that the earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of his people of the earth, Selah.
Before we bring you the second half of today's message, I want to thank you for being a faithful listener to The Dwelling Place. The Dwelling Place exists to bring you sound, encouraging, and inspirational teaching from God's Word. Are you a little fearful about the future? Would you like someone to pray for you? We would count it a great blessing to be able to do that. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org, and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And we'd also appreciate your prayers for this radio ministry. There's never been a time when sound biblical teaching has been more needed. Thanks for remembering The Dwelling Place in your prayers. Now with the second half of today's message in Psalm 76, here's Pastor Al.
The enemies of God were defeated. And not only are they defeated, did God defeat them physically, but God, even for us, defeats our enemies on behalf of his people, and he defeats them in their own schemes. Somebody may be scheming against you tonight. They know you're a Christian. They don't like the fact you're a Christian. They're scheming against you, whatever. The Bible says that even in their schemes, God will defeat them. So back here again in Psalm 76, verses 7 to 10, in particular verse 10, it says, surely the wrath of man shall praise you, with the remainder of wrath you shall gird yourself. And what he's saying there is that the wrath of man will praise you. In other words, the wrath of man's wicked fury against God and his people are merely occasion for God's glory and our deliverance. When the enemy comes again against us like a flood, God raises up, the Bible says, a standard for his people. And the enemy may come against us, the people may come against us, the people may scheme against us, but their schemes only become an occasion for God to show how awesome and powerful he is. And so therefore it says, surely the wrath of man shall give end up result in praise, Lord God, to you. Verse 11, it says, make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Psalm 76, make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. Make vows to the Lord and repay them. And the Bible talks a lot about vows in the Old Testament that we have, that people made toward God. But an application, I believe, is speaking to us, and the psalmist, of course, here is speaking to God's people, is speaking to the fact that after your deliverance, after the victory, we need to follow through with obedience. Make vows to the Lord and pay them. You know how it is when we make vows and make deals with God when we're in the midst of a fire or some situation? Lord, I tell you, I'm going to be there every Sunday. I'm going back to church. I'm going to be there, Lord. You know? And then after the pain and after the deliverance, you know, that one morning you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You know. Our vow of obedience, we all of a sudden forget what we have told God. But, you know, just like with every kind of sport just about, you need to have follow through if you're going to be successful. Amen? If you promise the Lord, you say, I'm going to be obedient to you, God, then you need to follow through with that obedience. I mean, if you're playing football, when you're throwing a pass, they always talk about follow through. Basketball used to be my game years ago when I used to be considered tall. but follow through on the shot. And then follow your shot to the basket, the coach always tell you. You know, golf, you got to follow through, amen? Otherwise, you end up hacking the dirt and the ground and throwing your clubs in the water or whatever. But baseball, watch a guy swinging a bat, just follow through. Same thing in our lives. When we make a commitment of obedience to God, follow through. Obey the Lord. You know, don't just make a deal with him until then the pain's gone. Then we forget all about it. No, if you made a vow to God, pay it. Follow through. If you falter on that vow, you say, Lord, I'm going to obey you, and then you falter, don't give up. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. The Bible says if you falter, get back up. A righteous man falls seven times, and yet he gets up again. Proverbs 24:16. So follow through. Follow through as a believer, I believe, simply means, you know, if I follow through on my vows, it simply means that I continually place my faith in Christ. That's what I believe spiritual follow-through is for the believer. Even if I fail, I get up and I place my faith in Jesus. Continually placing my faith in Jesus Christ. So don't quit. And then in verse 12, we end Psalm 76 with these words. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. In other words, he's just speaking again of God's sovereignty and God's power. And God will cut off princes. He will cut them off in their prime. He will even cut off kings. There's nobody that has enough money to avoid the judgment and the scrutiny of God. And, of course, even Sennacherib, of whom these two psalms are probably written, and definitely Psalm 73 and more than likely Psalm 75. Sennacherib was cut off. He was defeated. He went home after this great defeat of 185,000 men and animals and all the destruction that one angel of the Lord, who could have been Christ, a theophany in the Old Testament, came and destroyed and defeated the Assyrian army. When Sennacherib went back home, he went to his temple of his God and was worshiping his God in the temple of his God, and his two sons came in and killed him, cut him off. He thought he was safe, but not in his temple, not even while he was in his temple, he wasn't safe from God. And so he was cut off. This great king, Sennacherib, was killed, assassinated by his own blood. That's given to us in 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 36 and 37, if you want the reference to that. Here's what I want to leave you with, and that is, to the wicked, God has appointed wrath. God is in charge of time. He's in charge of all the seasons. And to the wicked, he has appointed them wrath. But to the righteous, those who place their faith in Christ, God has appointed peace. I want you to hear the words of Isaiah. Of course, Isaiah, the one who was the counsel to Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, back in the days of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, when they came up against Jerusalem. Listen to the words of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 48, verses 16 to 22. It reads, "Come near to me and hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, I was there. And now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me." And that is really a prophecy concerning Jesus. The Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. Verse 17, it goes on to say, "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace, the peace of Jerusalem, would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." Verse 19 of Isaiah 48, "Your descendants also would have been like the sand, and the offspring of your body like the grains of sand. His name would not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me." In other words, they would not listen to God. That's why they were carried away in the Babylonian captivity. But here's the hope of deliverance. "Go forth from Babylon," verse 20. "Flee from the Chaldeans with a voice of singing. Declare, proclaim this. Utter it to the end of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. And they did not thirst when he led them through the desert. He called the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock, and the waters gushed out." God says, there's refreshment. "I will not abandon you if you will indeed turn to me and flee and go forth out of Babylon." And then he ends chapter 48 of Isaiah with these words, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." God is our God who is in charge of every season, all of our time. He's in charge of what season you're in right now. But even in that season, he promises you peace. A peace that the enemy cannot rob or take from you if you'll continually turn to him. But for the wicked, there will never be peace. But for the righteous, there will be exaltation in peace. And we can rejoice in that tonight. God is giving you peace wherever you are, wherever, whatever season you're in. His peace is there for you. But turn to him. Don't abandon him. Follow through with your faith.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Pastor Al's message from this series in the Psalms are available at our website, cwccs.org. You can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. And there are many other messages and series to choose from as well. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com, and you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it as a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org. Or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, services at our two campuses have been suspended. However, you can still enjoy Pastor Al's teaching by joining our live stream. It's easy. Just go to cwccs.org and click on the live stream page or watch at our Facebook page. Again, to join our live stream, just click on the live stream button at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.